If you are listening to, perhaps watching, Call of Duty the Audible, I'm your host, Pete Delarise, who choked on the word for no apparent reason. I'm joined by my co-host, Simone Dagenet, and our producer, of course, the Eagle at Master Control. Welcome, everyone, to week two. Gentlemen, that was a fun week one action. Just not your garbage Eagles. Last Thursday, I think we should have done a four-hour show. It would have been more visually entertaining than the garbage the Eagles and Falcons give us to watch.
Can we talk now?
Yeah.
I was still never to talk during the introduction, and I feel like you're still...
But I stopped.
Yes, but then...
Your timing is terrible. So like, at the end of a date, do you like look at a girl like, can I kiss you now? Because that's kind of what you did to me. And I gotta say, like, I may have been turned on by you before, but not like anymore. Now I'm not inviting you in for a drink. But goodbye.
Okay. What if he brings the drinks?
And that lip gloss I left between the seat on purpose. I'm never gonna ask for it.
I just take out two glasses. How about now?
There's roofies in there for sure. I'm not trusting that. Keep your children. Keep your not children, but keep your girls away from Simon Dajna because of roofies
or children.
It's been said that if you suit up and be awesome, you score chicks. That's not true. Necessarily that in that order.
That's true.
And, well, hopefully not ever.
What?
What'd you see this week?
FPF related or not? Because we started with the shit Eagles. Yeah. They still won somehow, beat Justin's Falcons. Because
the Eagles were shittier.
Yes. A lot of games this week. I'll start with one that impressed me the most is Conspiracy losing to essentially Monstars. Essentially Monstars.
This time, yes.
Yes.
This time, yes.
So, are they in a situation... Is Keyport Lockstars... Are they in a situation where they're in the hole too deep for Jeff Rosenblatt to climb back out of?
First of all, Jeff Rosenblatt once told me he's never seen a hole too deep.
Nice.
Make of that what you will. But more importantly... No, because if they end up in the wrong tier, they can start Rod Mashed Up.
But what are they going to do with Jeff, though?
He can snap.
Then what is Chad going to do?
Play slot. Replace Ryan since he has no hands. Replace Ryan Reedy.
Hey, well.
With Chad Reedy.
Shots fired so early.
No, but look. We all know.
It's been a minute into the show. Ryan's got no hands.
He's the better rusher of the two.
And a great photographer.
Great photographer.
It's so no. You start off with he's got no hands, and this is where it all ends.
I mean, surprising he could take the pictures with no hands, but he gets it done. All wrists, all wrists. I kid, of course, but no. But like, if you had to, I'm saying if you end up in that situation,
but is that what
do you start Jeff Rosenblatt at quarterback?
But is that what they want to do though?
Like, I don't know. We're hypothesizing.
Of course, because we're not journalists, as we don't actually ask questions.
I mean, actually, I was talking to Ryan Reedy after his game today. I was like, "Hey, huge win, man." And then he was talking about it, but it never occurred to me to ask, hey, what would you do in this scenario? Because I only thought of it this morning.
You were looking at it like, he's got no hands.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I was just so,
it's so
perturbed
weird.
By it.
Yeah. Well, with two wins now, and they've beat Boundaries All and Conspiracy.
Well, so the thing is, though, they beat Conspiracy, when there were only six guys. Dan Lazara had to rush. Dan Lazara is rushing Rob Mashtub. And Dan Lazar is a better athlete than people give him credit for. He's a very good defender as well, but he's not going to be able to rush Rob Mashtub.
He's a good athlete outside of the quarterback position in the lower divisions. When he starts moving up in like Div 1, Div 2, he's sort of...
I'm saying he's
cracks.
Quicker than he yes. appears because he doesn't really move in a pocket, but that's kind of by choice.
But he also doesn't have that rusher mentality experience that helps him, right? Like, he makes rookie rusher mistakes.
And again against one of... Or the most elusive quarterback at this point.
Yeah, one of the toughest guys to rush. It's a
and his ability to throw on the run without planting a foot.
But
like just jump throw.
But he didn't have a choice though. Like if you're six and let's say you rush Kwesi instead, then Dan's playing defense and they're gonna pick on him.
Yeah.
Right. Remember the score difference is only 1 point in this game, right? So and Lazara leads the offense. So if he's not scoring extra TDs, because that doesn't change anything. Or do you think with other guys on his team, he would have put up more points and then potentially prevented
an extra
score?
I think what happens is in a game like that, you don't want to leave the game to converts because you're only six players. You probably don't have all your best options. And as such, you need to play a game where you get a stop. And you're not going to get stops without your full defense against Rob Master.
Or you
with force against, with, like you said, with against monsters.
You force them in a tough situation where you intentionally go for 2-point converts early in the game and try to get them while you're still fresh, while you're still out, you still got time. And if you're able to get a lot of points early, let's say you're up 16-6, puts a lot of pressure on the other team, and that's when you can get.
But that wasn't the nature of this game either. It was,
of course,
it was back and forth the entire
considering game. They've only got one convert. Right?
Jed Reedy had a huge impact on this game at the height of competition. When I first met Jed, he was a Division 5 player, very solid player. Has his development surprised you?
I think Jad understands what he's able to do. He doesn't dream of the fact that he's the best player in FBF, and I don't think he ever wants to, like, he doesn't envision himself as the best player in FBF, which means that he understands what he can do very well, and what, like, where to limit himself.
Yeah.
Right? Sort of like when you play defense, you know you can't cover 40 yards.
Yeah.
So don't try.
I hold instead.
Yeah. But Jad understands that that's not what he should be doing, and the team around him understands that as well, and they use him really well for what he does. Well,
you posed a question about things that should or should not be done. You wanted to talk about sharing toothbrushes. To be clear, it's not Simone and I sharing a toothbrush.
That would be worse.
I would never do that.
Well, would it be worse?
Yes.
Would it be worse than you and Natalia, for instance?
Well, yes, between my fiance and I sharing a toothbrush and you.
But then that means it's like.
We already kiss. We already share saliva, amongst other things.
Fair. But then other. Like she eats other things as well.
Yeah, usually that I've cooked. it's not ideal, I will say. So, like,
even on vacation,
I'm not afraid to be self-deprecating. So I will say that colorblindness has caused issues for me in my life. and like if she has a pink toothbrush and I have like a faded purpley blue whatever color that is toothbrush, it's happened where I confuse a toothbrush for 2 weeks.
Because different models, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, they're the same. They're the cheap one that I buy. So it has happened. It's also forced me to get a different kind of toothbrush and spend some more money. Gonna get me an Oral-B. I've ordered it, waiting for it in the mail. I went
the electric ones?
One. Yeah.
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I'm tired of you screaming at me about this goddamn toothbrush. Don't do it on purpose. Amazon, you're my friend. You all know what that's like.
What you can actually do with that, though, and you're gonna get pissed about this, is that you can buy the different brush heads, so you can have yours and she can have hers, but use the same electric one.
Don't say that on air, because she listens. She watches the show.
Why?
Yeah, but hers can be pink better. And yours can be any other
color. The color is the problem! What about you, Eagle? Is this a thing for you?
I would only share a toothbrush in emergency situations where it's like, and not even like, oh shit, I forgot it at home and we're on a camping trip and can I borrow yours? Like, no. It's like, my teeth are rotting or I've just eaten like a kilogram of sugar and I need to do something. Please.
So, So when your mouth is in the worst condition is when you would borrow the toothbrush of the one you love.
That's when you most need it.
But what, like, does she just give it to you and then she doesn't have one anymore?
Does she leave you?
I would get another one. Like, basically, I'm like, this is
you
mine now.
You'll need to get a new woman because she will leave you for your disgusting
she
mouth.
She also works in dentistry.
That's a good point. That's the only reason she's with you. But it's gross.
It's disgusting.
Other things that are gross, of course, are ties. Los Bandidos tied Warriors.
Oh, wow. I was really thinking of, like cravat. I was like, really?
Were the Warriors really an exciting new team, or were they just a big fish in a small pond?
Sorry, Warriors?
Yeah. When they first started in FPF with, Michael Soleimani at quarterback.
Okay, those Warriors.
With, Peter Giannis and
yes.
his antics and solid defensive play as well. But, like, were they just too good for the division they're playing in? Or is this a team that is a really good team who just takes a little while to get started?
I think that when they first started off their first few seasons, they really found what really worked well for them. They were in a division that was a little bit weaker than what they could have been. But
was the thing that they did well beat worse teams?
But they did lose a few players that made their team special back then.
Okay.
They had a few players back then like Angelo Murelatos, who called himself the Hammer.
The receiver of the Mediterranean.
There we go. Yes. We've named him, but better name, the receiver of the Mediterranean.
He's the sort of guy that a lot of people don't necessarily know about, but he's been striving in higher divisions recently by being a sub on Div C, Div B. He's a good player that was sort of lost in the whole Warriors team.
I was going to ask, since he's departed, what do you think is the biggest, like, how do you think that's hurt the team? Or how do you feel it's hurt the team at all?
Well, you lose some players that you that we thought were just support players, cast players, but in fact, they were actually being a bigger impact than we could have seen just from by seeing one or two games. Especially, right?
Like, again, we use Morlatos as an example. They replaced him with Pat Lindor. Pat Lindor is a very good receiver.
Yes.
And
that was recently.
Angelo, yeah.
After their
struggles. But he's on the team now.
Yeah.
So Pat Lindor, in my estimation, is a better receiver than he is a defensive player. And when if you know how to do, if you know how to use him well, he can have a huge impact on a game. So and again, they replaced him with Angelo Morlatos, who was primarily a receiver. But again, it's not even a huge statistical difference, but for some reason, it seemed as though Morlatos just fit that team. Well,
it's like if you take one of your friends you've been playing football with for a very long time, you've got that chemistry going. You know what works well for him. You know the receiver. When you sub him for another player that could be potentially better, but you've never played with before, you might not have that connection right away, and you might not be able to use him on third or fourth downs that are critical where Angelo might have had a bigger impact before.
Yeah.
That's just to name one of the guys that aren't on Warriors anymore. They were like a 10, 11 guys team, and now they've subbed in a few guys. So there's a few guys missing. I think the team is a little bit different. They kept the same name, and we think it's the same because we recognize the same brand names as Soleimani Brothers.
Well, the core is still there.
Exactly. The core is still there, but the rest of the team is not, and it's sort of a different team now.
Los Bandidos kept up with Warriors without Vincent Benjamin. Does that surprise you?
A little bit, considering Los Bandidos were missing potentially their best player, Vincent Benjamin.
It was replaced, the production replaced by Francois Desrochers running for two touchdowns, and Jeremy Gauthier scoring two touchdowns on receptions as well.
I was going to say seven completions for 70 yards.
Sorry, two interceptions.
That's rough.
It's not great. But yeah, they were missing their best receiver, potentially their best player. It's tough to replace. So that means that Los Bandidos technically would be a better team than Warriors if they would face a game, right? Like, that would put them higher in the power rankings considering they tied without their best player.
A game that we need to discuss and see how we feel as to whether or not it's even an upset anymore. Braves beat FPF All-Stars 35-26. Is this an upset? Are Braves becoming the top dog in FPF?
I think they slowly are. I think it's just we have that bias of saying Wyatt is the top dog, every team Wyatt quarterback is the best team.
So the thing is, I will say, having done some research, I know you just overreact to the most recent thing instead of look at things. The results are interesting. So in the Braves' history, playing against Kevin Wyatt's team, whatever version of the finest or not the finest Kevin Wyatt is playing for, that's playing in Division 1/A, Braves' record against them is 3-6.
Not great.
They won the first game.
Yes, I remember that.
They went on a huge losing streak since then.
All close games, though. They rarely lose by...
Now, here's the other thing. The point differential, despite the fact that 3-6, only -9.
Not bad.
Not bad. Considering you lost six of those games, that means on average you've lost those games by a little over a point.
I remember a few of those games, they scored in garbage time. Mm-hmm. Like Finest was up by 9-10 points, and then they scored to lose by 3, but they were down 2 scores, right?
Okay.
But the result remains that the margin is -9. In the 3-6 record.
Because a lot of times, like, Rainmakers would score in garbage time, but they would now lose by 20.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so they are keeping up
for sure.
At a different level that we're used to seeing. They win this game. So you're thinking it can become a change, a change of the guard?
I think that recently the Braves roster sort of retooled themselves, and they really brought the better players to make the Braves the best team they could be. When they came into Division 2 in their first season, they had a few guys that don't play FPF anymore, either because they don't want to or they don't have time or stuff like that. But the pickups that Braves have done, like JD Chevalier over the years, really helps them and it fits the team well.
So when they have their entire offense, Georges Galipi, Mike Pierre-Saint, JD Chevalier, Matt Lepage, etc., are they the best offense in FPF?
I still think that right now that FPF All-Star team has the best offense, but they don't have the best defense to compensate. As an overall team, I think Braves is a better team because their defense is much better than in comparison to what Kevin Wyatt's defense usually is, but his offense remains the most potent offense.
But allowing 35 points in Tier 1 is not a lot of points. Like, if anything, I'm more shocked that they only put up 26. And even 14 for 25 from Wyeth, sure, gets four TDs, but that's not good.
And here's the thing, is that, again, a case of bias? So, for example, for years and years and years, we said, man, if Jacques Voigt joined the finest, it would be, you know, absolutely huge and whatever. But, like, now that he has joined the finest, it almost seems like it's not as big a deal because he's amazingly talented. But, like, like Georges Galipier didn't exist in FPF before. A guy like Mike Pierre-Saint, Matt Lepage, these weren't big names in FPF. And do we automatically give do we automatically sort of have that bias to reward players who play with the finest or have played in FPF a long time?
I think so. The guys like Jacques Voigt is a very talented player, but on a team like this, he's sort of lost in the crowd where they've got players like him. They've got an Anthony Van Ram who sort of runs the similar routes as Jacques Voigt. Pat Jerome, who has that deep threat ability, and they got both the Pinons, Serge and Alex. Mm-hmm. So if considering how Kevin White will run his team with the Pinons, a player like Jacques Voigt is sort of lost a little bit offensively because he doesn't have that. He becomes a sort of a number four, maybe number five receiver, right? So how many targets is he really going to have? How many opportunities is he really going to have per game to make a difference?
We see now the Braves essentially becoming the new rivalry for FPF All-Stars / Finest / whatnot.
Yeah,
before that, we had like D-Boys, and prior to that was the Hurricanes, and Hurricane Florence ripping through North Carolina, unfortunately.
That was a nice try as a segue.
It's pretty good. But first of all, I wanted to say, you know, our hearts go to anyone who may be dealing with any of that. I've been in a hurricane. It's not fun.
Sucks, man.
It's very much not enjoyable. So hopefully it's something that can be resolved quickly. But so there are things about it that can be considered comical, and I'll get to that. Also,
let's switch our focus from we're sorry, we hope everything's okay, to let's joke about it now.
Yeah. So the thing is, in North Carolina, and it's also the thing we're making fun of may also lead to an environmental catastrophe.
Okay.
But until it happens, it's kind of funny. So there's a lot of pigs in North Carolina.
I heard about this.
And so, which is amazing because they are the finest purveyors of pulled pork in the Carolinas. I don't care what anybody says. South Carolina, North Carolina barbecue is absolutely something special. And you got to love pork. So if you love pork, I'm telling you, head down to the Carolinas ASAP.
Well, not now.
Not ASAP. Wait a little bit. So the thing is, the way that they treat the pig waste, the excrement of the pigs, is that they funnel them off into these sort of like irrigation areas where they run water through it. So it's just basically poop rivers.
Okay.
It's a cheap, efficient way to handle the pig waste, and also that serves as compost. So it's somewhat odd. And
it's
disgusting.
Not the worst thing to do.
No. Except if there's a flood, and the thing that will be flooding is something like
a village.
You know, 30,000 kilos of poor pig excrement and water. That is a terrifying idea.
Not only is your house getting flooded, but it's getting flooded by shit.
yeah, it's it's definitely not fun.
You wake up in the morning, your basement full of shit.
Yeah. So we can laugh at it now. If this does happen,
which we could potentially,
we'll have a very somber tone the next time we talk about it in a couple.
I don't know if people are going to keep a straight face on the news when they announce it.
It'll be tough. Either way, we can say they'll be in deep shit. Not unlike Bulldogs, and they faced unknown talent this week. Are we ready to say Alessandro Barazzoni is the next upcoming QB? We were saying he was better off as a receiver. As always, it may appear as though we don't know anything.
We don't know anything. We've been through that before. Mm-hmm. I think there's something about very good receivers that makes them... Well, he's a good athlete, which helps them as a quarterback. He's in a division where he doesn't have to face the toughest of defenses. Mm-hmm. Bulldogs are sort of still trying to find their ways, and they're not the most complete team. And it's something we see a lot in lower divisions is when he's talented enough, they just air it out and it works. If we look at an offense like EZW that had success in the spring season, it's the same thing. Jeremy White is a very good receiver, won receiver of the year a few times. Mm-hmm. He's a good quarterback because he's athletic and he's able to air it out well. Yeah. Is that going to make him a very good quarterback moving up? Maybe as he progresses and he learns, but that doesn't make him instantly the best quarterback there is. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very similar situation where he found something that works really well for him, exploits that, and hopefully learns through his experience the sort of transition towards a more pocket passer-ish system to be able to use both aspects at the same time.
Are we certain on the other side of the coin that Emmanuel Brulé is the actual quarterback for Bulldogs?
Is he the actual quarterback?
Because he threw
probably
a touchdown and six interceptions.
Ooh, there's a dozen numbers.
Didn't finish the game. And Harvey Lambert, who's probably their best receiver, took over a quarterback and did fine.
I mean, if you throw a six at some point, you got to bench the guy.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying. Like, can it be the quarterback wasn't there that game?
He's played a quarterback.
Six interceptions is tough, even for
Dutch. Isn't this their second week?
No, this is their first game.
Oh, Bulldogs haven't played yet.
And it's his first game throwing. And he doesn't have a long history in FBI.
I would
so
say
there's not a lot of information.
I would say maybe give him a second chance just in case. Just in case unknown talent is really, really good.
Well, like
we weren't there, right? So I don't know what why. If you're throwing a 5-yard hook and your ball floats a little bit too much and everybody's shooting, it's a different story than if you're throwing at DBs.
I would say the thing with unknown talent is that might be a key, like a hint in their name. Alessandro Barazzoni is the guy who's played St. Leonard Cougars, if I'm not mistaken.
Isn't that the team with
CJEP? And so my thing is that he may have access to a lot of players we don't know about. So this guy like Rafael Morelli, three touchdowns, two interceptions. He's played a little bit in FBF and has had some success, but like that's monster game. That's not just a regular person game.
But isn't this the team with AJ Combs' brother?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So I think
I've seen them warm up. They look good. Like they look like
Eagle,
they're
can
good
you get
players.
Us AJ's brother's name? Because I feel bad calling someone's brother.
Duke's brother.
Yeah.
Although nobody calls you Duke brother. No. Usually Pease's brother.
Yeah, exactly.
Sebastian.
Yeah. Sebastian Gomes.
But I've seen. But that some of these players played in the spring season, and they usually play like five guys every week. There's a lot of talent. They just didn't really know what to do. They need a little bit of coaching, and I think that the extra season really is really going to help them. They might have a very good fuck up.
Yeah, we had unfortunately another forfeit. Teen Stars forfeiting their second game. So McDowell gets the win 16-0. You guys had a story to tell about this, so I'll let you guys have the floor.
McDowell. So I was at the field, so I was playing on the field right next to them. We sent the team an email very late at 8:30 on Monday night to tell them, please don't show up. You don't have an opponent. Don't go for no reason at 10 p.m. on a Monday night.
Yeah.
They got the email, which is good, and they decided to come anyways and practice. If you get the notice an hour before,
hey, you paid for that field.
There you go. No, you're allowed to use it 100%.
Why not?
And the short notice might tell the guys, like, nobody made other plans, right? Nobody rearranged your night saying, I'll do something else. So they showed up anyways, they practiced, and since it's their first ever FPF game, so to speak, it could be good practice for them.
Yeah.
There was a player on the team, I'm sorry, I don't know your name. They were sort of coaching them during that practice time, telling them sort of what to do and how to run the defense. And it's something that could avoid some first ever game troubles. Like, there's a few things you don't know and you're learning as you go. That practice time could have really helped them.
Yeah, definitely. And sorry, Eagle, you had
to. I was just going to add to that because now it's two games in a row that Teen Stars forfeit. So for any of their future opponents, we've been told this won't happen again. Basically, what happened was, this particular week was a Jewish holiday on Monday, and the Teen Stars captain didn't know that you could black out dates. So they got scheduled on the Monday and then emailed us saying, hey, we can't play Monday. And we went, okay. And so that's why if you remember, we were the post on the wall trying to find people to potentially sub to play against McDo. And ultimately, we just couldn't get enough people to actually show up to kind of fill in because you can't play for multiple teams this year, right? So you have to find people who weren't playing available Monday.
And usually people who aren't playing FPF at all. Because they can't.
If you're not playing in the fall, usually it's because you can't play in the fall. So it's tough to. And we only had a few hours notice to find a team. And we didn't have like a full week, right? So.
So that's definitely it's you know, it's a terrible situation.
Yeah, it sucks. It's a, I'm sorry for McDo. It's a great team name. I'm gonna say it as much as I can.
And keeping with the theme of the day, we can say it's crappy. But I don't know if you've seen this video. This is the kind of humor that only exists in Quebec.
I knew you were going there.
So this guy pretends to be a McDonald's employee.
Does he pretend?
We gotta link the video to the. To
does
the
he FBI pretend, video. Or is he?
No, he's pretending to be.
Or does he work at another McDo and he already has a uniform?
Maybe, but he's. I don't know. Let's say he's pretending to work at McDonald's, and what happens is there is a toilet that is full of
excrement.
Yeah, but specifically diarrhea.
Was this in North Carolina by any chance?
No, it's,
no, it's here.
It's very much in Quebec. And so the whole thing happens in French, and it's pretty hilarious. The guy, he's basically getting guys into the washroom and, like, forcing them to, like, try and admit that it was them and, like, pushing them into the stall and forcing them to, like, stay in the stall with the mess they made. It's really funny.
Saying that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But
it's also awesome.
Yeah, he's sort of like, it's sort of a prank slash film with his friends sort of thing. It's pretty good. The people's expression is pretty good.
Sweat and Beers took on Dirty Dogs, 26-19.
It was a good game, though.
What can we expect from Robbie Robinson at quarterback at this point as he led Sweat and Beers to the victory over Dirty Dogs?
So he brought, it's that that Bobby, what's his last name? Serpent something.
Bobby Spaghetti's.
Yes, Bobby Spaghetti's. It's Bobby Spaghetti's usual team with Rocco, Cristiano, Akeem, Lloyd Charles, and Chris Williams.
Yeah, Norfolk and Chance. Yeah, guys,
James Arnold. So the team has a lot of individual talent, but they had a revolving door at quarterback for quite some time now. And Robbie Robinson's a very good quarterback. He's established in FBF. He's won some titles as a quarterback. The only thing is he runs a specific system, and he needs guys to sort of not just buy in, but actually run routes and do things in a specific way. And from what I've seen in that game, I don't think that's the perfect roster for him. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's going to have the same success as we might think he will just because of his name. But it's still a good team, and they play well.
So my question is somewhat multifaceted. Is the reason Rocco Cristiano not quarterback is because he's playing for Vanier this season and isn't there all season with his team with Sweat and Beers, or is it because he's not yet ready? And when do you think we can see a guy like Rocco Cristiano playing at a high level? Because you and I noticed when the first time we saw him play, this guy can make a lot of different throws.
Yeah. He's a good quarterback. Yeah. I think there's a little bit of. Like it's a both are through saying if he plays for Vanier, he might miss a lot of games. Mm-hmm. So do you not want to have a quarterback that plays two or three games in your season? They decided to go with Robbie Robinson instead, which is a good it's a good replacement. I think Rocco has a lot of talent, but still needs some time. Like he's not there yet, and it's not just an ability problem. The play calling is not good enough for higher divisions in the way they run their offense. So either they need to bring in somebody that's going to help him with that, a guy like Robbie Robinson as a receiver, for instance. Maybe that was the idea, but then maybe Rocco bailed out at last minute saying, listen, I can't play all these games. The schedule doesn't work for me. We'll see. He was there this week. He played receiver, and he's a very good receiver.
Well, he's insanely fast. Yeah. So it helps.
So there's no knock there, too. But they're in a very tough division. There's not a lot of There's not going to be a lot of gimmies for them.
So, for Dirty Dogs, we already see a whole bunch of names on that roster. Is roster consistency going to be an issue moving forward, do you think?
Well, from what Ryan Lenanowski told me, it was a Jewish holiday on Monday. Mm-hmm. He was missing five or six guys, so they had to play anyways. He was the only guy on that team that was there, because he was the only guy that was available to come out and play.
Yeah.
Due to the holiday. So it's not so much that they have a different roster every week. It's that this was an exception. Mm-hmm. It's only been 2 weeks. But there's still going to be a lot of names on that roster. We know Dirty Dog. We know their history. Some guys miss games. Hopefully Ryan Lenanowski is able to play every week, but they might use Ryan Kastner permanently.
Okay.
So like he's on the roster. You play week one.
Yeah.
Ryan wasn't there. But if you have Ryan Lenowski as a receiver and Ryan Kastner as a quarterback, it's a much better
but
team.
But it is
right?
It is Ryan Lenowski's team. Do you know that that's what they're planning to do?
I was told Ryan Kastner couldn't make this week's game.
Okay. So that implies that he's on
that
the
implies that he's on
a
the
member,
team.
Yeah.
And I don't think Ryan Kastner's going to play receiver.
I've never seen it.
Me neither. But considering he's got Dave Chidiot and Ryan Lenowski as receivers, who used to be on Rainmakers back in the days,
yeah,
that turns into a very good offense suddenly. Much better than we expected to be.
True. Eagle.
We have a comment from earlier, going back to the FPF All-Stars and Jacques Void, from newlywed GM Calethris.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, but he's got all sorts of bias.
Yes. So
minus 10% on respecting his opinion.
This is the historian's perspective. So he goes, Void's chemistry with Kevin is the appeal. Think you guys aren't taking that into account, referring to, I imagine, their touch experience together?
My point is all the old guys from FPF overtake it into account and don't think that George Garyp has chemistry with Jonathan Merrick because it didn't happen in FPF.
Also, let's not forget that the people get older and Jacques Void is probably the number five receiver on that team. Mm-hmm. How many targets are they going to have per game?
Yeah.
Right. We had one reception, maybe two, three targets total.
Yeah, or maybe just one. Like, considering how this team is built, I don't see Jacques Void getting 10 targets per game.
Shower beer, you do it?
I do. I discovered that because of you. Thank you very much. It changed my life.
Yeah. So when you're getting ready for a party, you're getting ready to go out. I'm going to a wedding this Saturday.
Or podcast.
Or podcast. I can assure you I will be having a shower beer.
For sure. It's so refreshing.
Because it's hot in the shower and the beer is cold.
It's weirdly refreshing and it's a weird feeling where you feel like you're on vacation, but you're not really. Yeah. It's amazing.
I call it like it's like a man spa. Like you go in there, drink a beer. Interestingly, my brewing partner, because I do brew beer, my brewing partner, his wife, a longtime girlfriend, bought us both like a cup holder for a shower.
I bought myself one.
Nice. It's kind of amazing. It only supports cans, so it's four bought beers, not our beer, unless I buy a canning facility, but I won't. It's awesome though. It's a nice little way.
Great.
Get ready, have yourself a pre-drink.
My girlfriend puts her shampoo there. I take it out every single
time. Yeah, Natalia puts her shampoo in there too.
That's not what it's there for.
I throw the shampoo on the floor, fed up, put the beer instead.
I saw a meme where there was a guy saying, my doctor told me I'm getting old and I need to put a bar in my shower. It's like, so I did it. Don't really understand how it's related, but now I can have gin and tonics in the shower.
So the sort of answer to the question, but cans or bottles?
So I have to go cans.
Like
I used to go bottle though.
Really?
Really?
Because I didn't really buy like canned beer unless I was going fishing.
That's fair.
Or
outdoors.
For fishing or outdoors, exactly. Like camping, fishing, sitting around a fire. But like so usually in the house all I had was bottles.
Yeah, I feel like I have this feeling towards bottles and cans where cans is like trashy beer I don't really care about.
They often put the same beers.
I know, but it's like my feeling is when I have cans, whatever. Nah. It doesn't matter, I could throw it around. But
it'll
bottles,
change
your
life
it's
forever.
Precious.
Vox Populi fruit punch, you'll never think that again. Telling you.
I don't know. I'd just be too worried to put a bottle in the shower because, admit it, you drop like soap or something every now and then. If you drop a beer bottle and that shatters badly,
I mean, at one point, so Eagle, you don't play offense, right?
I do not, for good reason.
That's the lack of hands. Right?
But that would be a crazy story. Like you get to the hospital, what happened? Shower beer.
That'd be pretty bad.
So many cuts.
Le Bon Hussard looked really bad.
You could have went with broken ankles right here.
No. Le Bon Hussard looked really bad first week.
Yeah.
They then beat Free Vinny. I thought this was like a trap game. I submitted my part to Francois' article. We talk about underdogs winning. I thought Free Vinny would win that game. Nope. Was wrong. Nicolas Antomo all of a sudden was in rhythm with all his receivers. Looked great. Was that just a matter of having not thrown to this specific core, this specific team? And shaking off the rust in week one.
Nick Chintamo?
Yeah.
100% for sure. Like he's proven the one quarterback, but he runs a specific offense and he can't just take any sort of receivers and just make it work. And he hasn't played in a while.
Yeah.
So he wasn't playing quarterback also recently. I think there's a little bit of both. There's a little bit of rust. They might have been surprised. They might have been missing guys. He wasn't very comfortable. Maybe he didn't warm up. Maybe he should have played. There's a bunch of things that could happen. But Bonne Rizal should be a contender this season. They should have a strong team.
It just, when I was there to watch them week one, they looked so bad. It looked incompetent. Like, it looked like the communication was bad. And
but that's been the Godskill MO for a long time. Is if they start off poorly, they just give up and whatever and just want to finish the game and go home.
Yeah, it looked exactly like that.
That's usually what happens is if they're down a little bit, instead of trying to fight back, they usually just, whatever, it doesn't matter, and let's go home and we'll play next week.
Another guy's been away for a while. Vince Nardone had a minor role in this game other than catching that one touchdown. Not really a huge role in the game. Do you think it's just a matter of time before he becomes a bigger part of the offense? And obviously we know more for his defense, but do you think he'll start to have a bigger role, a bigger impact on the game as his return to FPF is no longer so recent?
I think it's just a matter of how you use him. I think it's not a matter of, we all know he's a very talented player on both sides of the ball. He has a bigger impact defensively, but I'm not too worried about it. I think it's just a matter of, you might have not been using this game particularly because of matchups or whatnot. I would not. I think he's a very good player. He's going to have his time to shine at some point. And he also thinks that way too. Like, he's not the sort of guy who asks for target necessarily. He's like, I'm there if you need me to. If you don't need me to and we're still winning, I don't really care.
Yeah. Definitely. Sorry, because I had
the most peas of all time.
Would you like me to stall while you look at the paper a little bit longer?
No, because I had a point and then forgot it. So now we'll just move to another game. Diablos beat Mean Machine 53-24. Mean Machine's last winning season was in Division 6 in winter 2015 when they went 8-2.
Really? Oh, winning season. Sorry, I thought you meant win.
No, that's winning season. Really? They've done a lot of like 4-5-1, 4-6. But like the last time they won when they went 8-2 was in Division 6 winter 2015. They're fun, they're a gritty team, but is this tier too much of a stretch for them?
I think so. I think they're a bit out of their depth. Tier 2 is weirdly strong this season. There's like a big parity between the number one seed and the last seed.
Like, you're sticking one speed power Division 6 team in there. Thanks, FPF.
Yeah, so but that's an example, right? Like, I feel like the parity is huge, and I think sadly Mean Machine is one of those bottom teams with one speed power where they'll win some games. I don't think they're going to go 8-0-8. I think they'll win some, but I don't think they're going to have a very successful season. Luckily, everybody makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they're a good enough team that if they're ranked properly, they could win a cup this season. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that they'll beat teams like Diablos or Junkyard Dogs.
So far, Diablos have beaten ostensibly an upgraded Division 16 one-speed power.
Well, Division 5. You guys are pretty much Division 5 bound now.
Sure.
With a better quarterback, so like a strong Division 5.
Yeah. And then Mean Machine. So are they just a good team beating under 5 teams at this point, or are they actually this good?
I think they're one of the better team in Tier 2. Either they're definitely one of the top 3 teams in Tier 2. There's no doubt about it. But I think the score reflects them beating on teams. It's not necessarily just because they're so strong and so good. It's they take pride in putting up 50, and they do it shamelessly.
How happy is François Martin beating Division 5 teams?
Oh, if he could beat
like on describe Division a thing in your life that makes you as happy as him beating Division 5 teams.
Peanut butter jelly time.
I mean, that's terrible. I look at this game sheet.
Answer the question.
Just hold on. George Elivoyer has 7 receptions, 154 yards, 4 TDs.
Bombs.
Exactly, but you know it's coming. How do you not adjust for that? That's why they're putting up 53 every week.
So having played them, they're faster than you.
Then cushion them. Slow the game down.
That's annoying.
But then they hit a hook at 15 yards.
Then let them do that.
And then he cuts up field and makes guys miss because he's faster.
If you're not going to be able to put up 40 points against them, then slow the game down.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it sucks,
I think,
when they're faster than you. And just play man across the board. And on offense, again, they just take deep shots. And when deep shot's not there, François Martin is very good. Very happy to take a 12-yard sideline hook.
Yeah, or like a deep out.
Yeah.
He loves that deep out. But the Diablos are the sort of team that are really going to beat on weaker teams because across the board, they're better. They win every single matchup, and they're going to keep winning. But once they face teams that are equally good as them, if they play teams like Junkyard Dogs, they're not going to put up 50. It's going to be a greedy game at 20. Mm-hmm. That's who they are, is they're going to make mistakes offensively and defensively. But it's a very good, well-rounded team. and I'm curious to see. I don't think that the first eight games are going to matter for them, but I'm curious to see where they actually rank for the playoffs.
Okay.
Like, if they move up, who moves down against them?
Yeah, that would be interesting. Right? That would be interesting. One Speed Power, we just mentioned, beat Les Flamands Fous 33-20, despite the deficiencies of speed and youth.
And youth.
I don't want to talk too much about One Speed Power because who cares? But
sort of every week, but yeah. Okay.
Sorry?
Every week, but it's okay. Well, we do talk about every team every week.
So. But that's it, so I don't want to. And the teams I tend not to talk about will be mentioned in the article, so pay attention for that.
Where is. Am I missing the page?
No, three pages. Pay attention.
I'm looking for One Speed. Oh,
so the thing is that I want to actually talk a little bit more about Les Flamands Fous.
Okay.
Specifically,
0-2 Flamands Fous.
0-2, exactly.
The winless Flamands Fous.
Now, it's a team that was, when we last saw them, didn't do well in the early part of the regular season, went on a run, and then were very competitive in the playoffs.
Yep.
Went to the finals.
Yep. Sounds like them.
There is something I noticed in this game, and I like to help people, so I don't like to hold on to information and you like just for my own benefit. So I figured it's something I'd bring up and tell me. I'd like to know your thoughts on it. So what I noticed in this game, because what I make up for in lack of attractiveness and speed, I make up with being a pretty intelligent football player.
Wow.
So one of the things I've noticed was early on, he doesn't like to throw interceptions. So a lot of his plays revolve around corners and hooks because those are the safest.
Nobody likes to throw interceptions.
No, but he's almost fearful of throwing interceptions. He doesn't like throwing over the middle of the field.
Okay.
So a lot of what he does is throw corners and hooks. And so his first read is the corner. And then he'll immediately check down to the hook without really checking the intermediate middle part of the field. So what we did was have the middle linebacker, the three, play cover two with 1 and 5 dropping, the two corners dropping. Mm-hmm. And then have the three, the middle linebacker, crash to a sideline, take a gamble as to which side. And the guy from that side, the half from that side, crash back to the middle.
Okay.
So what happened was, he would look deep, the corner's not there, and almost without looking, throw it to the sideline where a DB is breaking on the ball.
Yeah, he's running that way, right? So, or, well, half the time.
So receivers dropping balls because footsteps, the ball getting knocked down. Alex David almost had two interceptions on that. And a couple of shifts in the red zone as well, where guys, so releasing the smash to have the corner shoot under the smash led to a pick six. And we were able to do that despite the fact that they're a much faster, younger group of guys. But just because we saw that happening, we were able to take that away, and that worries me. So my hope is that Nick Schaefer learns from that. And it's like, okay, because the guy's a rocket, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He throws so hard.
Undeniable.
And he can make every throw. But, man, you need to exploit the middle of the field, especially when teams are using shifts and shoots on you.
So it's a lot of teams in lower divisions don't necessarily use shifts like that. They don't create opportunities for the defense so much. But, again, if your defense is doing exactly that, then nobody's covering the snapper.
Well, that's the thing. We dared him to take the snapper.
But that's the thing.
Then let's say Alex Davis shooting to the outside. I'm the one who's then crashing on the snapper, who's much younger and faster than me.
So
he had a 7-yard hook all day.
So if Nick Schaefer, well, he's getting there. He's been playing for a while, but we could still consider him like a young quarterback in FBF. A snapper should tell him,
I'm wide open. Every
play. They're not covering me. Yeah. No, I don't want the ball. They're not covering me. If this guy shoots that way, there's nobody left where I am.
As a snapper, right? What I've done, and you know this because we played together, is I'll come to you and say, this part of the field is open.
Yeah.
I'm not saying throw to me here.
No.
I'm saying look at this part of the field.
The three moves.
Yeah.
There's nobody left at three. Use it, right?
Yeah.
If it's me, if it's someone else, just that part, they're giving that part away. They're daring you to go there. And I think that's something that a lot of people, so there's two mentalities where there's guys who are asking for the ball or very annoying offensively. Like if a receiver is asking for the ball, it's very annoying. Mm-hmm. But there's also the other flip side of giving your guy information because you don't have time to read all five positions. But that could help you. That could tell you, give you some information, then you could try it
and
afterwards.
Another thing I've talked to you about before is when, for example, this type of play, hook, corner, hook, is all ISO reads, five across the board.
Yep.
So unless you read very quickly, it's very difficult to even get to your third read.
Yeah.
And so it almost makes it, if you don't like, so if a team is doing things like this and you don't have floods and you don't have things that can take advantage of sort of quick reads, easy to process plays, it could make it difficult for your offense.
Well, it's also because it's three individual reads that requires the quarterback to reset his footing and his hips every single time. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're using what you've described as flood concepts, where you have multiple receivers going to the same zone, then you don't have to reset your hips
or
every
different
time.
Levels.
You just look at different levels, and your motion would be the same, so you don't have to reset every single time. Save you a little bit of time there.
One thing we haven't mentioned is the roster changes on Flamand Foo. So Tomakutsu right now is hurt, so he's not rushing. That changes their defense tremendously.
Yeah.
And Jeremy White is playing with EZW, and I think there's a couple guys that
and
went with him as
Sio
well.
Levine as well.
Exactly. So that's a very different offense than what you're used to seeing from Flamand Foo.
They're
so
still,
it's a
dude, they're so fast, though. They're still all super
fast. They're fast. It's just it's a different team, and it's probably this is the growing pains you're seeing.
Yeah.
But their defense is good, and they're missing the best defensive player.
Some growing pains, as would be any kind of pain if you would have broken ankles. But broken ankles, losing 31-26. So I remember JD Jolly was talking so much trash about, hey, I can't believe my team got demoted to Division E2, Division E2, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah, that was funny to me.
They got they just lost to a team that was an E2 in this past spring.
Yep.
So maybe you're not too good to be talking about teams in E2.
Also, they didn't win.
No, they lost. Well, it was also their quarterback was injured.
Okay.
Lacerated hand. It was nasty.
Okay. So it didn't win.
Correct.
Okay.
Joe Lemieux, maybe next time don't lacerate your hand.
Next time break your ankle. No, not really.
What's wrong with you? Sad game show sound. Joshua Vasquez, we saw him first evolve from a running quarterback to a quarterback who was a main target and now becoming a more complete QB. We saw Igor Hubain with 2 touchdowns in this game. Is he there? Is he now ready to make that next step?
Josh Vasquez. I think so, slowly but surely. I don't think he's the sort of quarterback that's instantly going to become like a Division III quarterback. I think there's a lot of processing that needs to go through. There's also players on Los Avocados that are not necessarily Division I receivers. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of both. He's learning to go with his receivers, but he's also learning to develop as a quarterback. He's much better than when he started. There's no doubt about it.
Another guy I noticed on the roster is a guy I've played with. He used to play with Moose, Darksiders, those teams. Antoine Baril on broken ankles. Uses a rusher in this game at 3 sacks. The kid's fast.
He's fast.
But what he's best at is a flat defender and who breaks on everything.
Yep.
And breaks on every rod in front of him. So it'd be curious to see if broken ankles have another player they can put at rusher to allow him to
just
jump.
The possibility that guys don't necessarily want to rush.
Yeah.
There's also that, right?
If you have a way to use him in the flat, I would recommend using him in the flat.
Maybe they don't know him that way.
Yeah.
The guy said, oh, whatever, I'll rush, I don't mind. But he could be a better defensive player. The flats are even, he's fast enough to play man.
The overreactionary Simon Dagenet talked about.
What's up?
The best defense in Tier 4 as Bud Knights, even though they lost the previous week and they let up 30 points.
Yeah, but they learned.
So they now became, in 1 week,
yes, instantly,
the best from because one of the worst defenses to one of the best defenses.
Zero points. Against. I mean, allowing 0 points
that, though,
is difficult.
But how much of that is the replacement's offense just does that sometimes?
And they were looking for subs this week, I think.
Yeah.
They have a few different names this week, replacements.
Some replacements, so to speak.
It's like
what?
First of all, I never said Bud Knight's the best defense in the division.
You
I don't know where you
wrote that in the script that you sent to me.
First of all, I didn't send you anything, so that's a lie.
Posting it later today.
It's a lie. Also, side note, I think Bud Knight has a better defense than people give him credit for.
You gave them credit as the best defense.
First of all, you did not. I did not. Nobody says that. Also, they've got a lot of veteran players on Bud Knights that are good individual players. Mm-hmm. There's also they had a new quarterback that was struggling a lot. I remember I watched most of their week one game, and I think the other team had 8 or 9 possessions, and he scored 20 points, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's all things considered. I think it's just a matter of their offense couldn't go anywhere. They're turning the ball over a lot, and they gave the other team too many opportunities. In this game, though, replacements couldn't do nothing.
Does Nico Lani need to become the focal point of the offense for the replacements to be more consistent?
I've said it before. I think replacements need to sort of retweak their offense and stop trying to be a very generic offense that just runs typical plays. They have a quarterback that's athletic. He's fast. Use it to your advantage. In my opinion, he doesn't run enough. They also don't use the receiver's speeds or sizes the right way. You don't need to send your slowest, biggest guy down the field. Use him as a 7-yard hook because he's the bigger guy. Just place it where only he could grab it. Use guys like Nicolani, who's so fast, underneath and let him run with the ball. don't force yourself into positions that you're not comfortable in. Don't have him run a fly route where you can't throw 40 yards. You don't have to hit a 2 yard drag underneath. Let him run afterwards. You get four or five yards every time.
I can tell you, having thrown to Nicolani, that's exactly what I did. You take this 2 yard pass and you make it 40 yards.
Well, there you go. Just turn up and gain yards afterwards, and we'll move the offense that way. And then you stretch the field and you force them to cover everything.
Eagle, get the schedule out, because I'm going to ask a question here. Do replacements have a chance to win six of their next seven games, even if they don't fix the offense?
Llamas, pajamas, raw sauce, fresh lungs, Trojans, Teen Stars, Bruins.
Well, we know nothing about Teen Stars.
Yes. So, but they might not show up.
Maybe they won't be there.
But Llamas Pajamas, a new team. Raw Sauce, a team that's not been consistent.
Raw Sauce is struggling a little bit more still. I think that Bruins are going to be one of the better teams in that tier, even with the new quarterback. I think that replacements has a chance of winning games regardless of their offense, but their defense is going to have to do better.
Yeah.
They've been a good defensive.
So how about you answer my question?
The replacement are...
Can they win six of their next seven even if they don't fix their offense?
No.
Just by the virtue of the schedule?
No, because if you score 0 points...
Okay, like, they don't always score zero, but they rarely score more than three touchdowns.
But
let's say scoring between 14 and 21 points, win six of the next seven, given the schedule they have, where they lose the Bruins?
Yes, but for different reasons. You could win with 20 points, but they have too many turnovers that give the other team too many opportunities. If they stop throwing interceptions and they punt, but they like turnovers that are not costly, then 20 points, yes, will win you games. If you always give them the ball at their 10 and you force them to drive the whole field and their offense is still struggling a little bit, if you're playing teams like Llama Pajamas, but if you give them the ball back at the 5, you're not helping yourself.
How high maintenance are you guys' girls?
Not as much as yours.
Yeah. It's my fiance's birthday week. Birthday week is something I discovered only when I started dating Natalia.
I didn't know it
this
existed.
This is her birthday week.
Well, I knew it existed for like West Island 16-year-old girls.
Yeah, I know. Also for, I can't say her age, not 16-year-old.
It's somewhere between 18 and 65?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because otherwise that'd be weird.
Yeah. Over 65 is less weird than the alternate.
Well, it depends. Would it be weird if she was 45 or weirder if she was 18?
Weirder if she's 18.
Because it's her birthday today. That means she would have been 17 yesterday.
Yeah, and we've been dating for 5 years.
But then would you date a girl that's 20 years older than you are?
How rich? How attractive. That's the thing is I've now become accustomed to having festivities all week long, culminating to a really big birthday thing.
I feel like that puts a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah, every year, dude, this year's been nuts.
What if you don't do it?
Then probably nothing, but then I feel crappy because I didn't deliver. Oh,
so at this point, it's on you.
It's like guilt.
Shame.
It's the eternal guilt. So I want to flip it instead and talk about what's the funniest thing that's happened to you on your birthdays.
Funniest thing that happened to me on my birthday?
Because I can lead with the one to give you time to think if you want.
Yeah, I will need time.
So my 30th birthday party was a house party at my place. And it was right after I got hired with FPF. Rob was like, yeah, Pease, you're an interesting guy. You wrote a couple of articles for Andrew, Dana. You were interesting on the podcast. Let's get you in. It'll be interesting. Let's get you on the team.
Sure.
Awesome. So we have my 30th birthday, and everyone came and bought a bottle of whiskey or scotch or whatnot. I decided I was going to try every bottle that was brought to me.
See which one's the best.
There were 60 people at this party in my condo.
Okay.
And you weren't sipping them.
No,
you
I was hammering full glasses in each bottle of scotch. So the next day, I had to go to a meeting at FPF after taking 2 showers. I still smelled like vomit. But what's interesting about that is I didn't vomit. So my question is, whose vomit? And then Eagle had to drive and he's like, my God, you smell like a homeless person.
He literally got in the car and smelled of death.
Yeah.
And I had to sit next to him. And Rob made breakfast for us, actually. Yeah. And he's just there with like the sunglasses and just eating his eggs, just going at it, just trying to get as much sunlight away from him as possible.
The eggs were too bright for my eyes. And I was just like, man, he's gonna tell Eagle, like, just can me, get rid of this guy. He's
who is
like,
this?
Who should bring me this guy, this drunk asshole?
And then there's me vouching for him, like, no, he did a lot of good work.
I don't trust the appearances.
Simo?
Similarly to this, we used to have a tradition, me and my friends. We don't anymore because we got older and birthday parties are expensive and tiresome. And if you throw a party on Saturday, going to work on Monday sucks.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, like, ravers. So, ragers, not ravers. So, we, for, which one was it? 22nd, 23rd birthday, we ran that huge party. And we had an FPF game the next day. The entire team was there. Mm-hmm. And I remember Ed referee Leo Gervais was reffing my game. And at the coin toss at 4 p.m., because we had, that was back when spring had afternoon games.
Terrible.
On Saturdays. Was it Saturday?
Terrible.
With afternoon games.
Leave your house at 2 p.m.
For a game in Lachine, I remember. Lachine, Catalonia, indoors. I walked in with sunglasses. Leo was Ed referee. I kept the sunglasses for the captain's meeting. He looked at me, he's like, what's up?
It's an audio medium. Simon's shaking his head.
Shaking my head. No answer. Okay. I won the coin toss because the other guy lost it. What do you want?
No answer.
No answer.
You're going to vomit if you say
I anything. Walked away. Yeah. And we actually won that game somehow. Those were fun times. But yeah, Leo still remembers that story. He told me a few times.
Eags.
My favorite story repeated itself for about 10 years. I went to school, and I actually was the youngest person in my class because I kind of, like, not skipped a year, but you know when, like, you're born September to December, and so you start the year you technically shouldn't be in? So I was in a class.
You were the younger version or the older version?
I was the younger
version. I was also that.
I was the older guy.
Yeah. Yes. I was the younger guy. So there was an older guy in my class who was born the exact same day as me. Okay. And so every year, grade 1 to 6, and then high school, sec 1 to 5, he's in my class. Happy birthday to you. And it always gets to the name, and they always said his name, finished, and then, oh yeah, happy birthday, Alex.
Oh.
Every year.
Wow, that's kind of crushing.
What was the guy's name?
Jason.
Jason?
Go to
hell, man.
No, Jason is now Eagles Vendetta.
Nobody likes you.
It's not even his fault.
Does he play in FPF?
What?
Does he play in FPF?
He does not.
Let's get him so we can cut him.
Is he your new nemesis?
He always was and always will be.
The oldest nemesis, Jason. Why? Same birthday.
That brings us to the end of the show. Simon, your final
Oh, really?
Thoughts.
Already?
Yeah. It's been an hour.
I don't know.
We're staring at the clock.
I don't know. What clock? Oh, it's there.
Final thoughts.
I don't know, man. I felt like this went by fast.
I'm an interesting guy. I'm easy to talk to.
I guess.
You should date me one time.
Should we be doing picks of the week?
Well, I do them in the article. So I guess what I can do next week is I'll bring the games and you guys pick them. Because it's pointless for me to pick in two locations.
People like picks.
Yeah.
Because then they can shove it in our face when we're wrong. But ignore us when we're right.
Absolutely.
And if you want to go ahead and join us, feel free to comment on the Facebook Live or like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube. Spotify, we're there too, but I don't think you can do anything there, so just listen. Appreciate it.
Listen.
And Simo,
final thoughts.
This went by fast. I'm still confused.
Eagle, final thoughts.
And if you want to be on the show, feel free to reach out to either Simo, myself, or Peace, and we'll get you in on an interview.
Two final thoughts. As we exit the show.
That's cheating.
Well, no, but I have going for one, going for two. So I'm going to go for two. Nice. Change the segment. I'm going to go for two. My first thing is this fall season is different from last fall season. There's no longer two rounds of season.
Yes.
There's not three games and then five. It's just a round robin of eight games. And then you get reseeded into a playoff that will lead to a bowl game. So I've heard we just need to lose the first three games 100 times all over the field. It's not that. It's a much larger sample size. You have 8 games. My second thought is I can't believe we got to a point where the Cleveland Browns are a better run organization than the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, it's crazy, but it's true.
That being said, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Eagle. Thank you, Simon. But most importantly, thank you all for letting me be myself.
We're forcing you. Like, we don't have a choice. You just take over.
Yeah, exactly. So one day you'll write a book called I'm Simon Dagenet, and peace of convention.
Thank everybody. Me too. Thank everybody. Thank you, everybody, for listening to me being myself.
Yeah,
would be more accurate.
But that's not the song from the 1970s. So it's.
Hey, should we have told them that the schedule for the playoff run is out?
No.
Okay. Didn't we post it on Facebook? Anyways,
we did. That's a great place to go look for it.
Because if people listen to this, are usually on Facebook. So,